I invite you now to take your Bibles, and if you would turn first to Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, Moses' very long sermon. Actually, it's five sermons on the plains of the Jordan before the people of Israel entered the Promised Land after they'd been in the wilderness for a generation. And he's saying, how do we pass this faith on? And then he says in Deuteronomy 6, beginning with the fourth verse, he says these words, very famous words from Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Remember Jesus repeating that? And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart, not just in a book, not just in your head, but on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house with your friends, with your family, with your neighbors, when you walk by the way, when you're at work, when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Now, he didn't mean that literally, the way our Jewish friends and neighbors have taken it, to have little boxes on their head. He meant it to have in the forefront of what you think about, on your hands in what you do, to have it in heart. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In other words, it has to do with everything in your life. That is the Old Testament passage that is about what it means to be a disciple-making church. And then I want, if you would, to turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. And I'm going to read this passage, and then I'll unpack the context a little bit after I read it. It won't make sense, but just listen carefully, and it will. This is from Jeremiah to the people of Israel who were in exile in Babylon. Jeremiah is still in Jerusalem. The people of Israel have been taken on a forced march to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the good or the welfare or the common good of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its common good, you will find your common good. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I will not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed in Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, open your word to us this day that we might have on our hearts what has been on your heart for all eternity. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As you've heard this morning, we do have a picture of God's intended future for us as a church, and we do let that vision or picture guide us. It is why and it is how we did this rebuilding project physically. But even more important, it is, as Mark spoke about, leading us into a future of serving Christ. The three pieces of the vision are generational, or doing away with the age silos so that adults and kids are discipling each other. It's missional, or seeing ourselves as a people sent on a mission. And it has the third piece, which we cover today, disciple making, which is Jesus producing his life in others through you. We're going to look at four things today real quickly. Our setting, life on life for the whole of life and for the life of the world. Okay, so our setting. What kind of setting are we in Clark County? What's our context at this time in history? And here's what I would say. It's much like the setting for the passage I read to you from Jeremiah 29. We are in exile in much the same way that the Israelites in the 500s were in exile in Babylon. Let me explain that. In 597, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, conquered Judah and Jerusalem. The kingdom that God had established under David was completely crushed. The policy of the Babylonian Empire was to obliterate, and I mean obliterate, the cultural identity of anybody they conquered in order to force them into the Babylonian culture by moving the leadership back to Babylon for training and enculturation. But Israel's identity was primarily shaped by God's covenant. It didn't matter where they were, the covenant and God were worldwide. What were they to do in exile? The leaders, the royalty in charge of decision-making, the judicial system, priests and business leaders had all been sent to Babylon with their families. The temple had been destroyed. There was no worship. Jerusalem had become a ghost town. They were in exile. Their true loyalty in their heart was to their home country and to the covenant with God, which they had recommitted to during this horrible experience of Babylon conquering them after generations of rebelling against the covenant. So when they got to Babylon, they first stayed separate from all the Babylonians and other people who lived in this great ancient city. They lived in an enclave where they wouldn't have to mix with the Babylonians. And then a prophet, who was a false prophet named Hananiah, came along and told them, don't get involved in anything in Babylon. You'll be back in Jerusalem in 2 years. And Jeremiah knew better because God had sent him a word. So Jeremiah sent a word from the Lord to the people in exile. Accept, here's what he said, accept your setting in exile, but be an alternative culture within it. Invest yourselves for the good of Babylon by means of your identity as God's covenant people. Bless Babylon, but don't assimilate. Don't try to take over the culture, but don't separate from it. Live as a covenant people within it. The book of Daniel is all about what this looked like. We haven't been conquered by a foreign power and taken away into exile, but in many ways we are in exile. The days when Christianity and church were the dominant culture that set the agenda and whom our culture respected and listened to, those days, let me tell you, they are gone. Gone forever, probably. How do we follow Christ in the midst of this setting? Neither trying to take over the culture through culture wars, nor retreating into a defensive spiritual and social compound. How do we stay true to our identity in Christ, shaped by his grace, while blessing Clark County? We're in exile. It's our setting. This is why disciple making is so important. So what does it look like? Just a few more minutes. It's a brief sermon this morning. You'll be happy to know. How does Christ produce himself in others through us in the setting of blessed exile? I can't tell you how excited I am that we're in exile. I think it's exciting. First, Christ produces himself in others through us through life on life. This means to share your life with God, with those God sends across your path. In the past, discipleship was seen as information setting, sharing, often in a classroom setting. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus did teach. There was a lot of content to his teaching. But to really impart his gospel to his followers, he immersed them in day-to-day life with himself personally. They went on the road. They walked and they talked and they laughed. And when they were on the road, they camped. They got to see Jesus get up in the morning with his hair messed up. In effect, they saw their Lord in his jammies. And he saw them in their jammies. Let me just put it this way. Everything we do as a congregation has a goal of discipling each other by being with each other in the youth group, with kids, with adults. It's less about programs and committees and institutional things and all about relationships and time and breaking bread and daily life on life. Now, I get asked by people a legitimate question. What does this exactly mean? It just means this. Open your life up to others, to someone new. Just stay open. Stay open. This is why the Apostle Paul said at the end of his life when he was writing to some young Christians, he said, "You know that we shared with you not only the gospel, but our very lives as well." Share your life. The way Christ disciples others through us is by life on life. But then he also does it for the whole of life. Life on life disciple making is for every arena of life. It has to do with life skills, relationship wisdom, work life, public issues, health, the arts, retirement. It has to do with everything. It's not just about our private spiritual lives with God. It starts there, but it goes everywhere. And as much as anything we do here at Columbia in the future, this may be the most important of all, catching God's vision for following Jesus and making ourselves available to others in the whole range of day-to-day living. And this is why understanding our exilic setting can help us get ourselves out of our mental and spiritual compounds and simply be with the world around us, not assimilating to it, but rising up to bless it at the same time, which leads me to this last point about disciple making. It is for the life of the world. The gospel is for the life of the world around us. Listen again to what Jeremiah said as prophet to the people in exile. Multiply there, do not decrease. Seek the common good of the city where I sent you and pray to the Lord on its behalf. This is a vision of making disciples in exile. It means to seek the common good of Vancouver, Camas, Washougal, Salmon Creek, Hazeldale, Orchards. Rise up and bless it. Christ loves Clark County and produces himself here through us. Even if no one ever even comes to this church because you opened up your life, that's not the point. Bless them, be with them, serve their common good. But do so with a transcendent purpose that is connected to Christ. Anybody can help. Anybody can get involved in something social that's good for the community. A lot of people do that. And that's a good thing. It's never a bad thing. But when we do it, we know we are connecting it always to a transcendent purpose that is beyond the need itself. And that is the purpose of Jesus Christ in redeeming and reclaiming a lost world. It's not just about do-goodism in general. It is about Christ and his gospel. Even if we don't talk about our faith, we can live our faith, and people will ask, and then we can speak and share our life. Folks, the good news is this. The good news is this. We're in exile. We're in exile. Seeking our true home in God's kingdom, which only Christ can create. But even now is breaking in through him, through the Holy Spirit, in our midst, and through us and other Christians. we are going to do generational discipling, missional discipling, and disciple making for the sake of Clark County and the other parts of the world that God calls us to. Will you be a stakeholder in this? Come next week ready to make sure you have a stake in that vision. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.